You know, our memories are an amazing thing. I was standing by the door shaking hands with everybody on Wednesday night. One of our ladies said, Pastor, where were you Monday and Tuesday? And I had to stand there for about 2 or 3 minutes trying to remember where I was Monday and Tuesday. I was in Jackson, Mississippi Monday and Tuesday, and it took me a while to remember where I was. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I wake up in the morning in a hotel and I have to get up and look at something, the phone book or the advertisements they have that have the name of the place, to remember where I am. I get up and I just can't remember where I am. And yet there are other things that I can remember just like they happened today. You know, most people say, well, I can remember just like it happened yesterday. I have a tough time remembering what happened yesterday. I can remember just like they happened today. I can remember my first baseball game, my first professional baseball game my dad and I went to. And I can remember it was cold. And it was early in April, one of the first games they played in April. And I can remember the only place that we could go where it was warm was the bathroom. So we spent a lot, it was heated in the bathroom. So we spent a lot of time in the bathroom trying to stay warm. I can remember just like it was today, my first kiss. It was my wife that, and I, we shared my first kiss. I don't think it was her first kiss, but it was my first kiss. I remember we were down the basement at the church that we were going to, and she was the kisser, Brother Harold, and I was the kissee, because, you know, I didn't know about that stuff, you know. But I had to learn. But I can remember that just like it happened today. I can remember just like it happened this morning, standing at an altar in a little church in Stuttgart, Arkansas. And when my future father-in-law said, "Do you take this woman to be your lawful and wedded wife?" I can remember just like it was this morning, saying, "I do." Now I didn't stutter like that when I said it. I can remember. I do. I can remember that. I can remember being in the hospital and when my two children were born. And as I've shared with you often, I can remember where I was, what was going on, the time of year it was, and when I got saved. Kneeling down in front of that red vinyl couch in my pastor's study on that tile floor, I can remember that just like it happened early today. Doctors tell us that memory is a series of electronic impulses in the brain. Little shots of electricity that are in our brain help us to remember things. And sometimes when you get a bump on the head, you lose your memory. You get amnesia. Sometimes it's temporary. Sometimes it's for a long time. And when we can remember, our memories oftentimes bring a smile to our face. Oftentimes we relive a very pleasant time in our life and we smile about it and maybe laugh about it. But other memories might cause a tear to come to an eye because it was a time of sadness, a time when we lost somebody or when something happened in our life that we wish might not have happened, but it happened and we remember it, and it causes us to relive the sorrow and the pain that we had at that particular time. The thief on the cross asked Jesus, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." The rich man in hell was told by Abraham, he said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things." The advice of the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes was this. He said, "Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth." And a large part of our lives are dependent on being able to remember things. And it's sad when people, because of a disease or because of old age, get to the point where they can't remember things. They can't remember how to do things. They can't remember people. They can't remember the different things that we need to remember. And it's sad. So this morning, I'm going to preach. I got a simple 3-point message. 3 things to remember. I want to encourage you to use your memory, and I want you to encourage you to think about these three things that I'm going to mention this morning as my 3 points. Point number one, I encourage you this morning to remember what God has done for you. I want you to remember. I want you to spend time every day thinking about it. This is my encouragement to you this morning. I want you to remember what God has done for you. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says this, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you." Samuel was preaching the same kind of message to the nation of Israel. He was preaching to God's people, the people that were chosen by Him, and Samuel was saying to them, don't forget what God has done for you. Don't you forget for one second the mighty acts that the Almighty God has worked on your behalf. He'd done some great things for His people, for the nation of Israel. He brought them out of Egypt. I don't have time this morning to remind you of the plagues, but the power of God as it was showered down on Pharaoh and on Egypt to get His message across, let my people go. And Moses told the people of Israel, he said, I don't want you to forget, I want you to remember the mighty acts that God did when He brought you out of Egypt. That, in fact, that's why they had the Passover. The Passover was the 10th plague when the death angel passed throughout Egypt and killed all the firstborn except those houses that had the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorpost and on the top of the door. Moses said, look, kill the Passover lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, and when that death angel comes as the 10th plague to Pharaoh to get his attention to let my people go, the death angel is going to kill all the firstborn, but when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. And every year after that, the Jews were instructed to keep the Passover, that Passover feast, so that they could remember what God did for them in bringing them out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness. He led them to the Red Sea. And He divided that sea, split it in half, and they walked over on dry ground. I've told you before, I've had people doubt that miracle. They said, well, the Red Sea wasn't very deep. It was, you know, just a little sea, just maybe a foot or so. And it wouldn't take much for God to split that and let them walk over in dry land. And I always tell those folks, well, that may be so. Maybe you're right. But then it was a big miracle that the whole Egyptian army got drowned in that foot of water. Huh? Because that's what happened. If the Israelites passed over on dry ground, and I believe, like the Bible says, there were walls of water on each side. I mean, they had to look up to see the light of day, to see the stars at night. There were walls of water. And the miracle that God worked when He divided that sea, Samuel said to the nation of Israel, don't forget what God has done. He led you through the wilderness. He fed you. He gave you water out of the rock. Whenever you got hungry or got thirsty, God was there to set the table with His bountiful supply from heaven. And He didn't do it because you were a good people. He didn't do it because you outnumbered any nation on the earth. He did it because He loved you. Amen. He chose you. He chose you. He led you to the land of Canaan, a land that flows with milk and honey. He gave you that land. He gave it to you. Yeah, you had to fight some battles to win it, but God was in the middle of every battle that you fought, and it was God that gave you the victory in every battle that you fought. And Samuel could say to him, at the point in time he was talking to him, he said, you live in cities in which you did not build. You drink from wells from which you did not dig. You eat from orchards that you did not plant. You live in a land that God has given you, not again because you were the best people on earth, but you were His chosen people, and He loved you. And yet, the nation of Israel, they needed this reminder because they kept forgetting God. They kept turning away from God. They kept going to worship false gods. And David said in Psalm 106, they soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And what the psalmist and what Samuel was saying and what I echo this morning is, Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. He made you. I know you used your mom and dad, but you wouldn't be here today if God did not want you here. He let you live in the United States of America, the greatest nation on earth. I know we have our faults. I know there's a lot of things about our country we would like to change, but I still believe it's the greatest nation on earth. And you are an American this morning. You live in this country. You enjoy the blessings of this country because God allowed you and chose you to be born in this country. Most of you this morning, God allowed you to go somewhere and allowed you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God gave you the opportunity to get saved, and you took advantage of that opportunity, and you sat in these pews this morning, saved, on your way to heaven, all because what God did for you. You didn't do one thing to get the salvation that you have this morning. You didn't do one thing to pay for it. We didn't do one thing to deserve it. We were sinners, sinking in our sin, deserving to go to hell. And God looked down at a bunch of sinners, and His love flowed to us as a bunch of sinners. And He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place on the cross of Calvary. He paid for every one of our sins. Look, you don't have a sin that Jesus didn't die for. You say, well, Brother Darrell, there's some things that I haven't done yet. I know I'm going to sin. I know you're going to sin too. I know I'm going to sin. But I'm glad that we have a Savior when He went to the cross and He said as He was dying, it is finished. What He was saying is every sin that every person will ever commit or has ever committed is paid for under the blood. Under the blood. And you sat here this morning, saved, on your way to heaven, not because you were better than anybody else, not because you deserved it any more than anybody else. You sat here this morning, if you're saved, on your way to heaven, avoiding hell, because God loved you and He did what was necessary to save you. Don't forget what He's done for you. He gave you your family. Your spouse is a gift from God. Your children are a gift from God. Your grandchildren are a gift from God. Your great-grandchildren are a gift from God. Everything in your life, listen to me, everything in your life is a gift from God. If you're healthy this morning, that's a gift from God. If you're sick this morning, that's a gift from God. You say, yeah, how can sickness be a gift from God? Because God knows you need to be drawn closer to Him. And so He's put something in your life so that you have to lean on Him and depend on Him. I was talking to somebody in our church this week, and they were talking about all the things that was happening in their life, all the trials that they were going through. And I like what they said. Before I could say a word, here's what they said. It's causing me to lean on Jesus more. She said, before all this started to happen, I had faith, and I thought I was leaning on God. But the last few weeks, I've learned what it is to really lean on Him. And so even the sickness that God sends into our life and the trials and the heartaches that God sends into our life, they are a gift from Him because He knows that we need them. The joy, the peace, and contentment that you have in your life, they're a gift from God. The house you live in is a gift from God. The car that you drive is a gift from God. The food on your table is a gift from God. The clothes on your back are a gift from God. I don't have time to list all the blessings that God has bestowed upon His people. I read a little story about a granddaughter that was walking with her grandpa at night, and she was looking up at the stars, and she said, Grandpa, I'm going to count the stars. And he said, go ahead. And she started counting. She got up to 236, and she said, Grandpa, I didn't realize there were so many stars. I just can't count anymore. And Grandpa says, that's the way the blessings of God are. If we count them, we begin to realize that we can't count them because they're multiplied and there's so many. And I dare say there are blessings that God has put in each one of our lives that we haven't even noticed yet. We haven't noticed it yet. They're there, and we're operating within that blessing, and we're enjoying that blessing, but we haven't noticed it yet to look to heaven and thank God for it. And so this morning, I want you to remember what God has done for you. Every single person in this room, even those that might be here this morning that don't know Jesus as your Savior, you have something to be thankful for God. You do. If nothing else, that He's given you a chance to come to this service this morning and hear somebody tell you how to get saved. And I would encourage you, don't waste that opportunity. You remember what God has done for you. And every single one of us, every day, ought to take some time and remember what God has done for us. Go ahead and start to count them. You'll be like the little girl. You'll keep counting and counting and counting. You say, there's too many of them. I can't count them anymore, God. Thank you for all of them. There's so many of them. Remember what God has done for you. Number two, remember God's word. In Psalm 119, the Bible says this, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. And in Psalm 138, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God's given us a book, his word, the Bible. That's what this is. I believe that this book just does not contain the words of God, but this book is the word of God. I believe this book just doesn't contain the thoughts of God, but this book contains the words, all the words that God wants us to have. In this book, it tells us how much he loves us. In this book, it tells us how to get saved. And in this book, it tells us how to live. I'm not just talking about how to eternally live. I mean, it does that. It tells us that we're sinners and there's a penalty for sin and Jesus paid that penalty. And the only way that we can get our sins paid for is to come and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. It tells us how to get eternal life, but it also tells us how to get the most out of the life that we live here on this earth. I don't know about you, but I like to get everything that's offered. I don't like to let anything go if I have the opportunity to get it. When I go to a smorgasbord, like when I go, Brother Leonard, to the Old Country Buffet, I come out of there hurting every time. I pay my $10, and I want to get all that I can get for my $10. Of course, I don't have the senior citizen discount like Brother Harold does, so I still got to pay that $12. But I want to get it. I mean, I try a little bit of everything. I don't want to let anything go uneaten. I want to test it all. And I come out miserable. I'm confessing my sin this morning. Lord, forgive me for my gluttony. But I buy a car. Now, this is not true, but I buy Adam a car, or I buy Jessica a car. I want them to drive it till the wheels fall off. I'm not talking about a Ford where the wheels fall off before they're supposed to. I'm talking about a car. I hope there's nobody here who works for Ford. But I want to drive that car until the wheels fall off because I want the money's worth out of that car. I mean, unless Adam buys his own car, he's going to drive that car he's got until the wheels fall off. And that's good for him, I think. I'm that kind of person. I want to get everything that's offered. If I buy a phone, I don't have my phone with me. I left it out in the car. It's got all sorts of things on it. Now, it's taken me a long time to figure out how to operate all of them. I mean, there's so many buttons and so many features, but I want to know what each one of them does, and I want to know how to do it. Now, Adam's been patient. He's trying to teach me how to use it all, and I'm still learning. But I don't want anything to go to waste. I mean, you know, when we have our dinners like we had a couple weeks ago, and I go back and I see all the desserts, I just don't know what to do. Chocolate cake, I want a piece of that. Apple pie, I want a piece of that. Banana pudding, I want a piece of that. I mean, you can just go on down the list. Brother Larry knows what I'm talking about because he's the same way. He don't want to let anything pass. We want to try it all. Now, I'm the same way when it comes to life. I want to get everything that God wants me to have in this life. I don't want to miss anything. I mean, we're talking about in Sunday school, talking about how it relates to heaven, but it also relates to our life down here. I have not seen nor ear heard what God hath prepared for his people. That's true about heaven, but it's true about our life down here. And God said, look, I want you to have that kind of life. I want you to enjoy it. And the only way that you can find out what God has for you is in this book. You won't find it in a man-written book. You say, well, didn't man write this? No, God wrote this book. He had secretaries that put the words down on paper. But God wrote this book. And you will not find in any man-written book how to have the blessed, eternal, abundant life that God wants each of us to have. You can only find it in the pages of the Bible. And so this morning, I encourage you, don't forget the Bible. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. And again, we only get it from this book right here. So don't forget God. Don't forget the Bible. And then number three, remember what other people have done for you. Remember what others have done for you. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 10, the Bible says this, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Forsake not. My grandparents have been on my mind this week, and I've been thinking about them. They're all dead. The three of them are in heaven. And I've been thinking about all the things that my grandparents did for me. Of course, I remember the fried chicken dinners and the roast beef dinners, and I must be hungry because there's so much food references in my sermon this morning, but I can remember all the dinners that they cooked. I can remember when I was a little boy, just like it was today. I can remember, my grandma, neither one of them had air conditioning. And I can remember laying in bed beside of them with the lights out, them telling me stories about Daniel, David, Noah. I can remember going to work with my grandpas. I can remember riding the bus. I can remember walking. And I'll never forget, I hope I never forget, all the good things my grandparents did for me. I thought about my mom and dad. And I don't have time to even skim the surface and even give you a few examples of what my mom and dad has done for me. I don't want to ever forget that. I don't want to ever get to the point in my life where I forget what they did for me. I was talking to a guy at work this week who lost his dad a few years ago, and now his mom, her mental abilities are starting to go, and he wants to take care of her, but she has moments where she knows what she's thinking, she knows what she's doing. And for example, he hired somebody to come and look in on her every day. Well, she fired her. Just fired her. Because she says, I don't need nobody to take care of me. I can take care of myself. And I told him, I said, you know, when you were a little boy, there were probably times that you didn't think your mom needed to take care of you. Even probably when you were a teenager, there were probably times that you thought you knew better than your mom did about what needed to be done and what you should do. And I said, as you deal with your mom, just remember those times. She didn't let go of you when you thought you had all the answers, when you thought you knew what needed to be done. I said, don't let go of her. If she fires a person, just hire them back. If she gets mad at you, I'm sure you got mad at your mom when you were a teenager and she was trying to help you. I said, she did it for you. You need to do it for her. And I hope I never get to the point in my life where I forget what my mom and dad have done for me. And then I just started going down the list. I started remembering some of my Sunday school teachers. I remember a lady that said, hey, if you start memorizing Bible verses, I'll give you a quarter. See, when I was a kid, Dennis, you remember, I told you I didn't smoke because my aunt offered me $5. I thought a quarter was a lot of money. I'd memorize verse after verse, and she'd give me a quarter for every single one of them. She finally said, that's enough. No more quarters. But I was in the habit then, and I kept memorizing them without quarters. I remember my Sunday school teachers. I remember my pastors. I remember how they were patient with a teenage boy that thought he understood the Bible but didn't know one thing about it. How they taught me. How they encouraged me to read it. How they encouraged me to live my life based on it. And then I took the next step, and I started remembering people in our church. People that are here today, people that have already gone to be with the Lord. And I remember the kindness and the acts of kindness, however you want to say it, that you all have done for me. And I said, Lord, I don't want to ever get to the point where I forget anything that somebody's done for me. Help me to remember it. Help me to never let it go out of my mind. Because I want to remember, like the Bible says, everything that anybody's done for me. Memory is an amazing thing. It could cause us to smile. It could cause us to cry. It could cause us to relive joyous occasions. It could cause us to relive sad occasions. But God says, I want you to remember. I want you to remember. Now, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I want to just take the next couple of minutes. I want to make it perfectly clear. Simple, just like God made it. You need to get saved. You're a sinner. The Bible says that we're all sinners. You're not alone in this. Every single one of us has sinned. You say, preacher, how many sins does it take to make a person a sinner? Just one. Just one. The Bible says if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of all. So if we've broken the law in one point, if we've told a lie, if we've disobeyed mom and dad, you can go down the list as well as I can. One sin makes us a sinner. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they were ejected from the Garden of Eden. They were separated from God. When we sin, we are separated from God. And if we die in our sins, we're going to be separated from God forever. And there was nothing that we could do to pay for our sins. Absolutely nothing. The Bible says not of works. We can't live a good life. We can't turn over a good leaf. We can't do anything to take care of our sins. And God knew that. And God loved us. And that's why God sent Jesus to earth. So he could live just like we live. So that he could be tempted just like we're tempted. So that he could go to the cross without one single sin on his record, so that he could die for all the sins on my record and the sins on your record. And the Bible says that if we'll believe that he is the Son of God, and if we'll believe that he did go to Calvary's cross and die for all our sins, and then we'll just reach out and take him, he'll save us. He'll wipe away all our sins. We'll stand before God, and I'll use a Bible term, justified, and tell you what it means. Just as if you've never sinned. Justified. Just as if you've never sinned. And all you have to do is believe and receive. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'd encourage you before you leave this place, I'd encourage you in the next few moments to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve all the punishment that comes with that sin. But I believe that when Christ went to the cross, he died for me. And this morning, I'm receiving him. I want him to be my Savior. I'm asking him to be my Savior. And the Bible says if we'll come to him, he'll in no wise cast us out. So if you're here today, maybe your first time here, maybe the 100th time you've been here, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, in the next few moments, I'd ask you to come. We're going to stand in just a second. We're going to sing a song. We're going to give you an invitation to come. And the invitation includes the opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today, for each one that's here. Thank you for the good news about Jesus, the good news that we can get our sins forgiven, the good news that we can have a home in heaven because of what Christ did for us on Calvary. And I pray for those folks that might be here this morning that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. I pray this morning that they could see that they are a sinner. We all are. And that Jesus paid the price for their sins. And this morning, if they'd simply receive him, they could know what it is to be justified. They could know what it is to be right with their God. They would know what it is to look forward to heaven. Father, I pray you'd speak to each one that doesn't know Christ. I pray you'd impress upon them the urgency of needing to make that decision. And I pray, Father, they'd make it today. And then, Father, I pray for the Christians that are here. You know the need of each of our heart. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would work. We'd listen. We'd be obedient. We'd do what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.